From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Our Father, the Christian's Intimate Relationship with God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Plentiful Refreshment. The text is Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 12. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. Oh, to have one's soul under heavenly cultivation, no longer a wilderness, but a garden of the Lord, enclosed from the waste, walled around by grace, planted by instruction, visited by love, weeded by heavenly discipline, and guarded by divine power, one's favored soul is prepared to yield fruit unto the Lord. But a garden may become parched for want of water, and then all its herbs decline and are ready to die. O my soul, how soon will this be the case were the Lord to leave thee? In the east, a garden without water soon ceases to be a garden at all. Nothing can come to perfection, grow, or even live. When irrigation is kept up, the result is charming. Oh, to have one's soul watered by the Holy Spirit uniformly, every part of the garden having its own stream. Plentifully, a sufficient refreshment coming to every tree and herb, however thirsty by nature it may be. Continually, each hour bringing not only its heat, but its refreshment. Wisely, each plant receiving just what it needs. In a garden you can see by the verdure where the water flows, and you can soon perceive when the Spirit of God comes. O Lord, water me this day, and cause me to yield Thee a full reward for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let me live for Thee, O Lord.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you. From the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Dr. Cairns is setting forth Christ's instructions to his disciples as to the proper way to pray, the passage commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. The opening words of the prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven," speak of our relationship to God, as well as the reverence with which we approach him. As Dr. Cairns emphasizes, in coming to God, we recognize him as the Creator of all things. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message entitled, "Our Father, Christian's Intimate Relationship with God."
God is the Father of all creation, in the sense he created and he sustains them. And you are his creature, and you should cry to him. I don't for a moment mean that you may make a convenience of God while you simply live in defiance of him and rejection of his Son. But what I mean is that you should and you may cry out to your Maker. I acknowledge that thou art our Father, and I am the work of thy hand. I desire to enter into the fullest sense and meaning and measure of the fatherhood of God and the sonship of man. Lead me, therefore, as a creature of God, to an assured faith in Christ, that I may receive him and thus receive the power to become one of the sons of God, not merely as a creature now, but as a creature redeemed by grace in Christ. For you know, that is the full meaning of the Lord's words in the Lord's Prayer. When he says, "Our Father," he's using the word Father to refer to a special relationship which God has with those who are redeemed and who are reconciled to God by the blood of his Son. Now here I have to cut across all the sentimental mush that for centuries now has been preached by what is called the liberal movement, or the rationalist movement, or the modernist movement. They're really all names for the same heresy. It's come down to us as the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I've already said, as far as being creatures, God is called the Father of all his creation. He produced it all. But when you talk about being a child of God spiritually, you've got to understand something. And that's very simple, but very awful. According to this book, spiritually, sinners are not the children of God. When we use the word children to speak of the family of God who are rightly related to him, who are not merely his creatures, but who stand in a right saving relationship with him, who are ready to be embraced and brought to glory, when we speak of the children of God in that way, then we hear the words of Christ to the Jews of his day. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. The Lord Jesus is now speaking in terms of spiritual relationship. And he's giving us this awful truth that there are many of God's creatures, his human creatures, who are in such rebellion against him, and they're so estranged from him, so far from him, so rebellious, so wicked, so unclean, that he says, you are far from being the children of God, the children of the devil. And if you want to know your spiritual pedigree, just have a look at your heart and your life, because you are doing the lusts of your father, the devil. What is the lust of the devil? You may say, well, that speaks of adultery, fornication, murder, bestiality, perversion, all those. Yes, it does include those things. But those are only the fruits of the root. What is the root lust of the devil? The root lust of the devil is to remove God from the absolute sovereignty of his throne. When he said, I will be as God, that was the devil's lust. That was the lust he injected into humanity when he tempted Eve in the garden and said, you will be as gods. That is the fundamental lust that lies in the heart of every child of the devil. He may acknowledge God is. Certainly Satan does. If the devil can get a fool big enough to believe the lie, there is no God, he'll tell him the lie to damn him. But that's not the lie with which he damns his millions. He tells them, oh yes, God is. I acknowledge God is. The devil usually doesn't even argue that point. And for himself, he believes everything this Bible says about God, except that it's irreversibly true, because there is the lust in his heart that he may himself replace God. In other words, God can exist as long as he exists alongside of me. God can exist as long as he accepts me on my terms. That's the lust of the devil. And that's the fundamental lust of the human heart. Jesus says, the lust of your father you will do. You may never have committed adultery or theft or perjury or any of these great crimes that men can recognize as being so openly unclean. But with the basic lust of Satan in your heart, unwilling to have God on his terms, but trying to force the Almighty to have you on your terms, that betrays your spiritual parentage. Jesus says, sinners are not the children of God. Scripture goes a step further, and it shows us clearly that God is Father only to those to whom he is Redeemer. Dr. Barrett was reading this morning in Isaiah 63. The verse 16 contains this, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. God is spiritually a Father only to those to whom he is a Redeemer. That's why John 1, verse 12 tells us, as many as received Christ, that is Christ as Savior, Lord, and Redeemer, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's why John also wrote in that beautiful section of his first epistle, chapter 3 and verse 1, beloved, now are we the sons of God. What does he mean, now are we the sons of God? He means now that we're redeemed. Now that we're in Christ. Now that we're covered by the blood of his atonement. Now that we have received him by faith. Isn't this what we were reading this morning in Galatians chapter 4? There came a time when God sent forth his Son into the world. Why did he send him? He sent him to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice, he sent him to redeem. And all whom he redeems receive the adoption of sons. As we read in Galatians 3 this morning, you are all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, there are two great families in the world today. The children of the devil Genesis 3, the seed of the serpent. My, that's a terrible, terrible description. The children of God. We're not describing denominations. We're describing the ultimate spiritual division of humanity as delineated by God Almighty. He says there are the children of the devil and there are the children of God. Can I ask you this morning where you fit in? Thank God it is possible to pass from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. And it's impossible to pass from ever being a child of God to being the child of the devil. How do you pass from being a child of the devil to being a child of God? By faith in Jesus Christ. Redemption. It speaks of the mighty act of God in interposing the precious blood of Jesus Christ to deliver men and women and boys and girls from the power and the thraldom of Satan, from the awful family bond that would bind them in their depravity, breaking the chains of their sin, setting them free and bringing them into a right relationship with God, whereby they can honestly cry, "Our Father." That's grace. That's salvation. That's what God has done for countless millions. And He'll do for millions more. That's what He's done for many who sit in this meeting this morning. That's what He can do for you. I would say to you to take this very seriously. Because I remember years ago thinking, as I was preparing a message, which in fact I think I preached in Sharon Drive way back in 1978 when I first visited Greenville, on the subject to be a Christian. As I looked at it, you know, the word Christian, just as child of God, it's so misused. People are Christians because they're born in a Christian nation. There's really no such thing, you know. I would to God there was. The Puritans felt that they had come as close to it as you ever could in the Cromwellian period in England and in the period of the Pilgrims and the first Puritans in America. But a glance at history will show you how far from being truly Christian those nations were, and I think those were morally their best days. So to think you're a Christian because you're born in a Christian country is a fallacy. But then I've been born in a Christian home. Thank God there is such a thing as a Christian home. And I believe Christian parents may and should plead the promises of God and labor within them to see their children saved. But if think they're saved because they're born in a Christian home, they're fools. Not saved, you're not a child of God because you're a child of godly parents. People use these terms so loosely that they tell you it's tragically possible to be in what you think is a Christian country, born in a Christian home, sitting every Sabbath day, raised through Sunday school, young people's work and church in a Christian church, and perish in the outer darkness of a lost eternity. Why? Because there's only one way to have God as your Father. Only one. Only one way to enter into the intimacy and the reality of this relationship with God. That is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can really begin to pray with honesty, Our Father.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.